Tony in lingerie. The strap kept falling off his left shoulder. It was just a thin line of satin, nothing more, and it refused to stay up. Maybe his shoulder was lopsided, Tony thought, giving his reflection in the darkened bureau mirror an eye roll. The line of candles, cobbled together from all over the cabin, plus what he was beginning to think was a citronella one from one of the cabinets out in the garage, sat along the edge of the dresser and flickered under the slow circle of the ceiling fan's blades, casting a warm glow and long shadows over the room, though the bedside lamp was on, giving off a soft, low light. Outside, the sun had already set over the mountain, leaving it in the gray dark of twilight, with just a few stars glimmering weakly above, except for Polaris. He could see it through the open slats of the blinds, a high, bright pinpoint of light against the low fog of descending night. Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight, Tony recited, feeling his face soften into something like a smile. He tugged the strap back in place yet again and twisted to the side, one hand on his hip and a small frown pulling his brows together. He had no idea if he'd gotten this remotely right. Googling vintage 40s lingerie produced results that ranged from long, flowing gowns that would make the nuns proud to websites presumably called some version of Who Knew the 40s Were That Depraved.com. The piece he finally settled on was comparatively simple, nothing flashy, just a bit of lace along the slip, held up by two straps, one of which was demonstrably uncooperative. Below the lace, the black fabric was sheer until it reached the lace trim along the bottom, where it settled just below his waist. It was the garter belt that sold him on the ensemble. It hugged his waist, giving it a narrower appearance, and arched high over the black satin panties underneath. The garters themselves tapered down to clip to the darker band of lace along the top of the black stockings that rode high on his thighs. It was the garters that made Steve get all squirmy and stammering, voice roughened with embarrassment, bright splotches of color appearing on his cheeks. At least, that was what did it, the one time Steve mentioned looking through some haphazardly tied together stack of pictures one of the other soldiers picked up somewhere in the south of France. Omegas. Not all of them, Steve had said. You could tell. Well, Steve could tell, whatever. Probably other alphas could too, but at least some of the people in the pictures had been omegas, which no doubt was the titillation tipping point that parted the good GI from the stipend he'd been planning to send home to his mom in Nebraska. Omegas, all dressed up in feathers and lace. And these garters, Steve had said, with an eager, breathless tone. These garters with stockings, the soft kind that were real silk, not the newer, rougher ones of nylon, their faces painted with rouge and lipstick, eyes drawn wide with kohl, and they were doing things, Steve said, looking away from Tony. What things? Tony had asked, idly tracing a circle around one of Steve's nipples and thinking about quarks and strings, the kind that vibrated and told stories of the universe. Things, Steve said, just things, he repeated, his face heating up. Then he slammed his jaw shut and shook his head, and that was that. Honestly, the man could be incredibly stubborn sometimes, and apparently talking to Tony about naughty pictures the guys had passed around, along with hordes of cigarettes and chocolate during the war, was the hill Steve wanted to die on as far as oversharing reminiscences with Tony. Tony studied his reflection again, smoothing the lace that flared above the satin bodice so that it flattened to a V in the center of his chest. His dog tag swayed a bit at the movement, where they hung just above the low point of the bodice. He reached up and wrapped his hand around them, holding them tightly in his palm for a moment. Sometimes it almost seemed to him that if he held the tags hard enough and long enough, the raised lines of Steve's name and serial number would imprint into his skin, marking him, so everyone would know who he belonged to and who belonged to him. Squinting at his reflection, he turned the opposite way and ran a finger under the curve of the panties where they shaped large half moons over his ass, before disappearing between his cheeks. Not exactly designed for comfort, but he had to admit the effect was, well, obvious at least. God, he hoped he had gotten this somewhat right. He thought he looked well. Ridiculous, probably. But on the heels of that thought was a sort of hot burn of shame, centered low in his stomach, that somehow felt good, coiled low and deep, and snaked down to the tip of his cock, where it bulged against the soft satin of the panties, flaring the sides out around his balls. The figure in the mirror shifted, making a rushing swoosh of a sound as stocking thighs rubbed together. Okay, so yeah, Tony thought with a sigh. This whole idea was probably crazy, but he was usually in jeans and whatever morally objectionable t-shirt he had handy, and he wanted to be beautiful. For Steve. Be the kind of Omega that Steve had thought about all those years ago. Had Steve sat in a bunker canopied by barbed wire with the whine of mortar fire overhead and thought about one of those Omegas, about doing things with them? He wasn't jealous, not of some poor, likely long-dead Omega who got through the war by doing whatever it took. Steve loved him, Tony, and they did plenty of things. So, if it had maybe occurred to Tony that this way Steve would have some new memories of some dolled-up Omega doing things, well, it wasn't jealousy, exactly. Just that now, if Steve happened to think of garters and lace and how soft stockings were, he would think of Tony first, not some tarted-up Moulin Rouge reject. Definitely not jealousy, though. That would be silly. Tony turned away from the mirror and walked over to their bed. It was weird to walk around in something like this, so different than his usual comfort clothes. He looked down at the cleft in his chest, where the top dipped low, swallowed hard, and sat down on the edge of the bed. The slightly rough, sheer material of the top felt cool and warm at the same time as it pulled over his skin. The tips of his nipples jutted out, hard, dusky ovals, just below where the lace edge ended, so that whenever the strap fell, or he twisted or stretched just so, the lace would scrape across those sensitive peaks. He could somehow feel each movement of the lace in the tip of his cock, which was pressing against the soft fabric of the panties. A small wet spot had appeared, sometime around the point he finally managed to get the second garter attached, and by now, the whole front of the panties was damp, where his hard cock pressed against the confines of the material. Tony lifted his eyes back to the mirror and watched his reflection as he cupped his erection in his hand and flicked a thumb over the damp fabric, hard, scraping his nail over the line of his cock. He let out a hiss of breath as a surge of need blazed through him, his head tilted back, throat working soundlessly as he pressed his hand against his cock, rubbing small strokes up and down the soft, wet fabric. His eyes closed. He tried to swallow, but there wasn't enough saliva in his mouth to manage it. God, he wanted Steve. It was all he could do not to roll over on his stomach and rut on the bed, but that wasn't what he wanted Steve to come home to see. Not that Steve would complain, but it wasn't the picture that Tony wanted to present, so to speak. A frustrated half-whine escaped his lips, and he dropped his hand to his side, sucking in a long, shuddering breath. Maybe these were the things those Omegas, with their shadowed eyes and dark lips, had been doing. Had they felt this way, too? Getting made up, sliding into those garments, hoping they looked beautiful, putting themselves on display like that. Half embarrassment, half longing, all mingled together in some kind of haze. Tony licked his lips. His heart was pounding in his chest. His cock was throbbing its own rhythm, straining against the wet panties. Slick leaked out of his ass, dampening the strip of lace that was tucked between his cheeks until it spread out at the top and arched high over his thighs. If he moved just so, the wet strip of lace rubbed over his hole almost painfully, though the good side of pain. His hips jerked. Another spurt of slick coated the crevice of his ass, then dripped down onto his thighs, just above where the stockings stopped. God, he needed Steve to be home. This whole plan had seemed like good fun an hour ago. A bit of a tease for Steve. Surprise, dear. Guess who made Safe Search his bitch? So yeah, fun. Have a bit of a laugh. Now, though, he wasn't laughing. He just wanted Steve. Steve would take care of him. It wouldn't be long now, he knew. Tony had already gotten Steve's text. Steve would be home soon, and Tony would be, well, like this, waiting. He had no idea how that would go. Okay, well, he had ideas, sure. Everyone had ideas from time to time. Like, say, when their alphas were away for 3 weeks. 3 whole weeks, Steve, 3 weeks. People left to their own devices, quite literally, bless the internet, might get ideas. In his defense, Tony felt that this whole getup practically screamed it was this or something actually combustible. A flash of bright light cut through the room. Headlights, Tony's mind supplied, then immediately nosedived into nervous motion. He moved to the center of the bed and curled his knees up underneath him so his stockinged feet pointed out behind him. A furtive glance at the mirror had him shifting around and stretching his legs out instead, drawing one knee up and trying to get his arms to look remotely like they were laying naturally at his sides. There was still time to blow out the candles and hide under the covers. He could tell Steve to wait out in the kitchen while he changed. Steve would do it if he asked. A car door slammed and Tony jumped, then laughed, low and breathy, warmth flooding his belly. Steve was here. Steve would take care of him. He might laugh, true, but it would be one of those what have you done now kind of laughs, filled with fondness and a gentle sort of adoration that Tony didn't always understand. Tony would tell him about how hard it was getting the garters on, and how he thought his left shoulder might be a few centimeters shorter than his right, or else this damn strap, he mentally ground out, pulling it back into place, was creating its own gravity. And they would curl up on the sofa and laugh about it, with Tony's head buried in Steve's chest so he didn't have to look at him while he talked. Maybe they would watch one of those old movies, the ones with Hepburn and Tracy, where they fell in love in the middle of arguing with each other. They had shown half a reel of Keeper of the Flame on the side of a tent somewhere in northern Italy, Steve once told him. They could watch that one, maybe, or something lighter, one of the screwball comedies. He could tell Steve the thing he bought was like that big diaphanous floral thing Hepburn wore in Bringing Up Baby, all demure and flowing. Not like this, what he had chosen, this stupid black lacy thing that made him look like... The front door opened. It always creaked now, since its unfortunate losing bout against a horny super soldier. Steve had replaced the door, of course, but the frame was messed up. Something to do with stress on the wood. Stress on the wood, Tony's mind sang, and a nervous, shaky giggle burst out of him. Oh, God, he was going to do this, wasn't he? All because Steve may have thought about some random Omega decades ago and wouldn't talk about it, which meant it had been something... meant something to Steve in some way that he didn't want to share, and Tony hated that. He was a terrible, petty person, but he hated it. Steve was his. He sucked in a breath and realized his hand was splayed over the dog tags, pressing them into his rib cage where it rose and fell and thumped in time with his heartbeat. Hey, Tony, Steve called out, heavy booted steps tromping down the hallway. Where are you? What's with the lights? Are you okay? Oh, Steve broke off, coming to a halt in the bedroom's doorway. He was still in his uniform, the star a dazzling white in the center of his chest. Oh. Tony forced himself to swallow, closed his eyes, and let out a breath. His cock throbbed almost painfully where it was trapped in the panties. He opened his eyes. Steve was standing completely still, one hand suspended out in front of him, almost like he had been raising it in greeting, and someone hit the off button. Tony pushed himself up onto his knees, the lace thong rubbing against the sensitive flesh as he did, turned his head and dipped his chin to touch his shoulder, looking up at Steve through the cover of his lashes. "Hi, soldier," Tony breathed out. Steve stared at him, framed in the doorway with the candlelight casting shadows, and for a second Tony couldn't breathe. He had messed up, miscalculated, done something wrong. This was all wrong and stupid, and he should laugh first before Steve did, make it a joke. He drew in a breath that was the beginning of a laugh, but it punched out of him in a surprised burst because Steve moved. Sometimes when Steve was asking the bots about their day or drawing silly doodles to leave in various places around the apartment or cabin for Tony to find, or laughing uproariously at Bugs Bunny cartoons or the Three Stooges like they were the height of comedy, it was easy to forget that Steve was who he was. That when he wanted to, Steve could move fast. 1 second he was standing in the doorway looking like someone hit him with a wall, and the next, while the breath was still cool in Tony's chest, he was there, standing in front of Tony by the bed. Hi, Tony said again, giving Steve a wobbly smile. Thought maybe something a bit, you know, kind of just for fun tonight, or whatever, just... He trailed off, suddenly very conscious of what to do with his hands. Steve, Tony said, blinking up at him. It's stupid, right? I don't know what I was thinking. Oh, he stopped, sucking in another breath that was half a gasp, eyes going wide as Steve's hand settled on the back of his neck with a little more than its usual light pressure. Firm, almost hard. Enough that he bowed his neck just a bit, but God... It felt like more, so much more, giving this to Steve.
Look at you,
Steve said, voice rough and hushed, like it was tinged with awe. It sent a spike of something hot curling through Tony's belly, filling him and making him feel empty at the same time. You like it? It's okay, then, Tony blurted out, unable to quite help himself. He felt Steve's hand flex on his neck, barely a ripple, but enough for a fissure of heat to work its way down Tony's cock.
You're beautiful, Tony, Steve rasped. So beautiful.
His other hand, still encased in the uniform's leather gloves, the sleek, dark brown that left most of his fingers that Steve said helped him grip the shield and that Tony just liked for the aesthetic, hooked under the delicate strap of fabric at Tony's shoulder, the one that refused to stay in place, but of course did for Steve, and followed it down to the bodice of the slip until he came to the lace, rubbing it a bit between his thumb and forefinger before tracing the edge of the V down to the center with one finger. Tony kept his eyes on Steve's face, the way the muscle twitched in his jaw, how his cheeks hollowed, the deep blue pools his eyes formed as they tracked the path of his hand.
I'm doing this to him, Tony thought with a sort of triumphant thrill. Me. This is because of me.
Steve's fingers stopped where the bodice dipped lowest, tugging a little so the lace scraped lightly over Tony's nipples. Tony's mouth dropped open in a pant, and he was breathing deep, chest expanding on each intake, because it was conscious, something he had to remind himself to do, or he might forget entirely. The way Steve was looking at him, it whited out the world, whisked away everything that wasn't Steve.
You said, Tony stammered, clearing his throat, and somehow in the space of a breath, deciding to just barrel ahead with it.
You said they were doing things in the pictures, the Omegas. Is that, I mean, I could maybe, if you wanted, he offered, blinking as heat stabbed at his eyes and chest. I could, what they were doing, I could maybe do that for you. Steve's hands stilled and his eyes lifted to Tony's.
I'd like that, Steve said almost idly, like he was commenting on something mundane, but his gaze was sharp, dark and gleaming in the candlelight.
I'd like that a lot, Tony.
Yeah?
Tony managed, throat clicking as he tried again to swallow past the sudden lump lodged there.
Yeah,
Steve replied, mouth rounding into a smile that made Tony's stomach go loose and his leg muscles quiver.
There was something behind Steve's smile. A promise. Something dark and dangerous, and the kind of smile that made Tony's cock pulse painfully in the dampened panties, made his balls draw up and tighten, and sent a fresh rush of slick between the crease of his ass.
Alpha. Tony's mind rang. The word. More than a word. The feeling of it, stabbing through him on each heartbeat. Alpha, alpha, alpha. Want. Need. Desire. Those were words with meanings, and this was somewhat beyond that. He wanted Steve, needed him, desired him, but Steve was his, and Tony belonged to him, and this was more than all those things. He wanted to be taken, ravished, ravaged, whatever the word was for it. Wanted Steve, so overcome he couldn't stop. Wanted to be the one who filled Steve's thoughts, even the dark ones. The ones he wouldn't talk about. The ones he didn't want to have. Tony wanted to be all of those things. The dog tags hung just above where Steve's hand stilled. He reached up and let them settle into his palm. His eyes met Tony's gaze. Something heated and wondrous moved across Steve's face that made Tony's mouth run dry.
He started to say something, but managed only a small, choked sound as Steve wrapped the chain of the dog tags around his hand and tugged, pulling Tony up and forcing him to scoot forward until he was standing on his knees on the edge of the bed, nearly level with Steve's face. The thong grated a scraping burn down the cleft of his ass as he moved. He was already so loose and swollen, so ready, and the combination of the feeling of something rubbing over his hole while Steve tugged him up made his hips jerk, which just roughened the sensation all the more as the panties tugged with the motion.
He let out a small, involuntary cry and watched as Steve's eyes went wide, knowing, his nostrils flaring as more slick seeped out in response. God, he was going to be embarrassingly wet. Not that Steve ever seemed anything other than extremely happy about that situation, but Steve had barely touched him, and he was already a mess.
I, Tony started, darting a furtive look down.
Shh, Steve said, shaking his head a bit.
You're perfect, he whispered, sounding like he meant it, like it was obvious and not amazing, because that was what it was for Steve.
Tony flattened his mouth and nodded, looking at Steve for a moment before dropping his gaze.
Perfect, Steve repeated. So good for me. I love how ready you are, how wet and open you get for me, my beautiful Tony.
Alpha, Tony replied, ducking his head under Steve's hand just enough for Steve to feel it.
Please.
Steve let go of the tags and brought his hand up and cupped Tony's chin, tilting his face upwards, his thumb rubbing lightly over Tony's bottom lip.
Open, Steve ordered.
And that's what it was, his captain's voice, the kind that told generals and presidents what to do and expected them to listen.
A flare of heat bloomed deep inside Tony. His cock jumped against the sodden mess of the panties.
Alpha, Tony's mind raced, chasing the feeling, the need to give over, give in, belong fully to his mate. Tony's mouth fell open. Steve's thumb slid in just the tip, just past Tony's teeth to the point of his tongue. The hand on the back of Tony's neck tightened almost imperceptibly, but Tony felt it, deep and low inside and down to the head of his cock, like it was connected by a puppet string to Steve's hand.
Suck, Steve told him,
and Tony closed his mouth around Steve's thumb, tasting leather and metal and sweat in Steve. He moved his mouth forward a bit, taking more of Steve's thumb into his mouth. His tongue darted out, almost experimentally, against the smooth leather, feeling the line of stitches and creases where the glove fit around Steve's hand. His eyes caught on Steve's face, pupils blown wide, dark pools of blue like the night ocean, lips parted just enough for Tony to see the small pants of breath working in and out, muscles tight across his jaw, a slight furrow deepening on his forehead. Someone was trying very hard to maintain their restraint, Tony thought,
finding the idea incredibly pleasing. He leaned forward and drew Steve's whole thumb into his mouth, swirling his tongue around it, lapping at the tip and along the sides, in mimicry of what Steve taught him. He sucked lightly, looking up at Steve through half-hooded eyes. A moan escaped him as he sucked harder. The hand on the back of his neck spasmed, then settled into a constant pressure as Tony wrapped his hands around Steve's arm and sucked at the digit in earnest. "God, Tony, you're so good for me. Look at you. Gorgeous," Steve husked out, a raspy, scraping voice laced with pleasure, as he slowly thrust his thumb in and out of Tony's mouth. He finally pulled his thumb out with a pleased sigh and ran it along Tony's mouth, wetting his lips. Then Steve was kissing him, mouth moving over Tony's, tongue pushing in where his thumb had been. Tony had time to wonder if his mouth tasted different, smoky and rich from the leather of the glove, before he couldn't think of anything except how Steve's mouth felt on his as it moved, gentle and urging at the same time. Steve drew his tongue back and traced the seam of Tony's lips, then pressed in again, swiping around Tony's mouth and sliding along Tony's own tongue, the tips rolling and flicking against each other. Steve pulled back and nipped lightly at Tony's bottom lip, then took it in his mouth and sucked at it, toying his tongue over it. Tony groaned and surged forward, reaching his arms up to wrap around Steve's neck, deepening the kiss again. Steve's mouth was hot, demanding as it moved over Tony's, the kiss suddenly shifting into something else. Steve was leaning forward, forcing Tony's back to bow as he pushed him back onto the bed. Tony dropped his hands from Steve's neck to give himself leverage on the bed and scrambled to get his knees out from under him. He felt the bed give way as Steve put a knee on the mattress, and then Tony was leaning on his elbows with Steve looming over him, panting and wild-eyed, a small trickle of sweat beating at his temple. He pushed Tony's legs apart and ran his hands up and down Tony's stocking legs, over the garters, and back down the insides of Tony's thighs. A tremor shook through Tony. His cock jumped, seeking attention, but he couldn't do anything like this except jutter his hips up, making the fabric pull and shift with the movement. Steve watched him, smiled. Not the way Steve usually smiled, all soft edges and gentle curves, but hard, predatory, with teeth. Tony groaned, a low, needy whine of a sound as Steve pushed his legs up and spread his knees apart, baring him to Steve's gaze. "Mine," Steve ground out through gritted teeth. "Mine, Tony." He traced a finger under the garter where it followed the line of Tony's thigh, then higher over the arch of the belt where it curved over the top of the panties encasing Tony's cock, and back down the other garter, like the bastard was in no hurry, while Tony was dying. "Yours," Tony said in a deep, throaty voice that barely sounded like his own. He looked up at Steve, licked his lips. "Yours, please," he said. "Alpha, please." Steve hummed, eyes going half-lidded, mouth parting. He slid his hand underneath Tony's neck again and lifted, pulling him up, the other hand at Tony's waist doing the same. When Tony was on his knees again, Steve dipped his head and pressed a kiss to Tony's forehead. A hand smoothed down Tony's hair. Then Tony felt two hands grip his arms and slowly turn him around until he was facing the closet on the far wall where he had once found his knotting wrap in a box that smelled like Christmas, and he could never tell Jarvis why he got red-faced when Jarvis studied oranges with cloves to scent the house. And oh God, yes, his mind squirmed, memory and the moment colliding as Steve's hand came down, heavy and sure on his neck, and pushed him downward. One arm was wrapped around Tony's waist, forcing his ass high into the air as his chest brushed against the bed's comforter. He turned his head. The dog tags pooled next to his neck, filling his vision. Steve's hands ran up and down Tony's sides, over the curve of his ass and over the garters, then back up, sliding over the slip to tease Tony's nipples, rubbing and pulling at the sensitive buds through the lace. Tony gave a long, keening moan. It was somehow better and worse, the way the lace felt on his nipples, soft and rough at the same time, like his mind couldn't decide which sensation to feel. His cock was painfully hard, throbbing and leaking with each tug or twist of his nipples, like there was a pathway between the two for pulses of pleasure to travel back and forth. The bed dipped and then righted itself as Steve moved his knee off the edge, a shuffle of feet, the rough swooshing sound of the uniform moving. Out of the corner of his eye, Tony could see the shadows on the wall move in pantomime, and he was suddenly very conscious of the position he was in, of how he must look, and that Steve was looking, standing there, looking at him like this, inspecting, Tony's mind supplied. And he shivered, swallowed, closed his eyes and breathed out. Humiliation burned through him. His cock twitched. A slow rivulet of slick was leaking out of his hole and down over where his balls were stuffed into the panties. He could feel the thick stream of it as it wound its way down. He was sure Steve could see it too. His cock strained all the harder at the thought. That made the shame worse, but it was good too. And he didn't know how to parse that. So he focused on the shadows, the wall, Steve. He breathed out, Alpha. Another breath. The shadows were still. His dog tags were next to where his fist curled into the comforter. He reached out his fingers and pulled them into his hand, feeling their familiar coolness against his skin, the pattern of letters and numbers that said Steve was his. And he was Steve's. Another breath. In and out. You wanted to look like those Omegas for me, Tony? They could never be you. You have no idea. You're so beautiful. Alphas would pay anything for a picture of you like this. Something they could hold and look at and think about. You like this. But this is for me, isn't it? Just me, Steve said. And God, it made Tony feel filthy, dirty, and wonderful. Made him want to curl up in a ball and hide his face. Made him want to beg and plead and rut into the bed. Tony's mind was having some sort of network connectivity problem, he decided. For you, Tony replied, and let his eyes fall shut for a moment. Another breath. His hand curled tighter around the tags. He wanted Steve to touch him. He wanted Steve to keep looking at him like this. He didn't know what he wanted. You could never be like them either, Tony, not really. Steve said in a harsh, bitter whisper, tinged with an old regret. You're mine, and I'm yours, and this will never be what that was. I can. Whatever. I can, Steve. Just tell me. Please. Please. I need... Tony stammered. His stomach clenched. He was doing something wrong. He'd messed up something. Something wasn't right, damn it. He'd screwed this up somehow, though God only knew how. Spread yourself for me, Steve told him, voice hitching a bit on the last of it. It took a second for the words to filter through the haze of pleasure, pain, that spread outward from Tony's cock and shook through his muscles. But when they did, he let out a groan and turned his face to bury it in the bed. What? Oh, Tony panted, grinding his head back and forth in the mattress. He couldn't do that. Oh, God, he wanted to, needed to. That's what they were doing, Tony, Steve rasped out. The Omegas in the pictures, bending over, presenting themselves, holding themselves open, letting everyone see how much they needed an alpha. They were so loose and ready, all wide and gaping, needing it so badly, needing an alpha to take care of them, so wet you could see it all over their thighs, on the bed. Beautiful. But you, With you, it's real. Not some show. It's real. And it's for me, just for me. All of this for me. You have no idea how beautiful you are. Tony gasped, slumping forward, panting hard, sharp breaths. This was Steve. His Steve, for fuck's sake. The guy who said swell and oops, saying these things. Tony's mind sputtered and ground to a halt. The way those cartoon characters Steve liked so much dug their feet into the road until it curled up in a heap in front of them. Alpha, Tony burst out, his voice threaded with need. Please, please, I need, please, Steve, Steve. Alpha, please. Spread yourself for me, Tony, Steve repeated. Let me see you. Tony hummed out a moan of surrender, let go of his tags, and reached both hands behind him. He grasped the round globes of his ass and pulled himself apart, baring his hole where it dripped with slick, wide and loose and ready. The lace thong gave scant covering, brushing against his rim where it puckered and pulsated as Tony held himself open. Beautiful, Steve whispered. Tony whined and screwed his eyes shut, but he held himself spread wide. The bed dipped again, and he felt the thick fabric of Steve's uniform brush the backs of his thighs. Then Steve's hands were on his, and a moment later a rush of warm air covered his whole. Tony cried out. His whole body jerked and went taut. His hands let go and dropped down to fist in the bed. Another breath warmed him. Then the hard, wet pressure of Steve's tongue, flicking against the lace of the thong where it covered his whole. He was going to die. Steve was going to kill him. Cause of death, Stephen Grant Rogers' depraved tongue. Here lies Tony Stark. He came and went. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Tony's mind whirled and tilted as Steve's tongue traced a circle around the rim of his hole through the lace, then flattened out and covered his hole, licking a long, slow stripe. Steve. Tony chanted, swallowing air. His mouth was suddenly full of saliva, and he had to wipe it across the back of his hand. Then Steve was pushing his lace-covered tongue inside Tony's hole, inside him. God, shit, fuck, inside him. He was going to die. Swirling it around, the rough burn of the lace against the soft, sensitive skin of his rim and channel, pushing him to the precipice and holding them there as wave after wave of pleasure burst through him. In and out, fast, darting thrusts, then long, languid swirls that drove the lace deep inside him, and Tony was gone, flying, falling over whatever cliff he had been clinging to, and gone. Bright points of white danced in his vision. His eyes rolled back in his head, and he clawed at the bed, trying to find any kind of purchase. Steve's hands held Tony steady, keeping him in place, keeping him open, while his tongue continued its relentless assault, licking and thrusting into Tony's hole, scraping the lace around his rim, pushing it deep. A cold rush of air hit him without warning, and suddenly the panties were jerked down to his thighs. He felt Steve's finger slide in easily, then another, and, oh, fuck, Steve still had his gloves on. Tony could feel the smooth burn of the leather as Steve pushed his fingers all the way in. Tony let out a grunt and moaned as Steve pulled his fingers out. He was empty and open and dripping. Like the Omegas in the pictures, Tony thought, feeling somehow lifted up by the idea, pleased, floating. For you, Tony thought. Only for you. Mine, Steve growled. The grinding rip of a zipper filled Tony's head, and then Steve was slamming his cock into Tony's eager hole, burying himself to the hilt. Tony gasped. His back arched. He threw his head back and let out a howl, then collapsed his chest flush to the bed and closed his eyes, tried to remember how to breathe. Alpha, Tony mumbled through a haze of pleasure. He was so full. So very, very full. He needed Steve to move, but wanted to hold him like this, deep inside him for a moment longer. Steve's hands were making soothing circles on Tony's cheeks, where he held them apart, fingers catching on the garters with each turn. Tony hummed and rocked back, heard Steve give a small huff, almost a chuckle. That was apparently all the encouragement Steve needed. He pulled out almost all the way, leaving just the head of his cock inside Tony's weeping hole before thrusting all the way back in. Tony's whole body canted forward with the force of it. One of Steve's hands looped around Tony's waist and held him as Steve withdrew again and pounded back in, again and again. The hot, heady burn of Steve's cock filled him. Tony shoved a hand down the front of his panties and grasped his own leaking cock. It was so hard and full, smeared with pre-cum from where it had spread in the confines of the panties. He stroked it, coating it with his own pre-cum until it was smooth, giving his hand a twist just over the head. Then his hand was jerked away and planted next to his head on the bed. "Come on my cock or not at all," Steve ground out, hips snapping hard as he rammed in again, as if in emphasis. Tony whined in protest, but his cock jumped at Steve's words where it reached for his stomach. Steve pulled out, shifted, lowered his hips, and spread Tony's knees, then plunged in again, and, oh, fuck, yes, there. Tony thought he might have said that out loud, but couldn't tell over the buzzing in his head that thundered through his ears. Again, the head of Steve's cock slammed into Tony's prostate, sending spirals of pressure and pleasure up Tony's spine and down the length of his cock. He wasn't going to last. He lifted his chest and peered down. His cock strained and pulsed, so full and flushed, it had gone a dark purpled red. Beads of fluid formed, one after the other at the tip. He turned his head to the side and reached out to cradle his dog tags in his hand again as Steve thrust home again. And then he was coming, hips spasming, chest heaving, stomach curling up, balls tightening as he finally crested and found release. Long strings of cum sprayed over the front of the slip, weighing it down so it clung to the bed. Tony grunted, let out a low, satisfied groan, and went pliant as Steve pounded into him. He could feel Steve's rhythm falter like he had been waiting for Tony. Then his hips stuttered, thrusts going ragged and sloppy, and he was spilling his seed inside Tony, filling him with it. A few final pumps of his hips, and Steve let out a sharp cry, falling forward, catching himself on one arm that shot out next to Tony's side. Steve's breaths were coming out in hard labored pants. His hair was slick with sweat, but he smiled at Tony, soft and gentle, and so full of love it was hard for Tony to look at, even now. Like looking at the sun, he thought, with a strange sort of feeling of things clicking into place. Steve's other hand rubbed up and down Tony's back in long, soothing strokes. He wrapped it around Tony's chest and pulled Tony flush with his own, then let them fall into a heap on the bed. He smoothed back Tony's hair from his forehead where sweat had plastered it, in thick, haphazard curls. A kiss pressed to Tony's scalp. Soft caresses fell over his thighs and stomach, down his arms and across his chest. Deep inside him, Tony felt the familiar pressure of the knot start to form, slowly expanding and filling him, pressing into his prostate with a constant force that created a rising tide of pleasure that seemed to seep into Tony's blood and bones and push out through his skin. He sighed. One of Steve's hands settled on the curve of Tony's belly for a moment, just below the garter belt. One day, Tony thought. Soon, maybe. He could take a year off before grad school. They could come back to the cabin. Steve would paint the guest room. They would put those glow-in-the-dark stars on the ceiling. He would have to talk to Jarvis about coming up to help. If, obviously. Big if, but good to plan. They would see him soon anyway, for graduation. Tony's parents would only be there for the ceremony before stealing Jarvis away to drive them down to D.C. because his dad had to pick up something at the Pentagon. something about no FAA flight record, so no jet, and Tony's mom would rather choose cement than fly commercial, so driving it was. But at least it meant Tony got Jarvis for a few days beforehand, since Jarvis had to bring the car up from New York. His thoughts blurred, twisting and spiraling like he was seeing them through a kaleidoscope. His mind hummed with a pleasure-filled static. He was so full of everything. Happiness, love, security, contentment. So much of it all. It felt like he would overflow somehow, that it was too much. But it never was. It was always just right. Like this, with Steve a part of him. Those Omegas, the ones in the pictures, they didn't get this part of it. They were for show, for money, for titillation of alphas and betas who saw them as little more than objects to be used. This was what Steve meant when he said they could never have what it was that was in those pictures. They would never have this, an alpha who loved them, who wanted to give them what they needed, whatever it was, even if it was something they didn't realize they were looking for. Tony sighed. Love you, Tony murmured and patted Steve's arm where it cradled him. Love you too, Steve replied, a brush of lips against the top of his head just behind his ear. Liked your surprise, huh? Tony asked around a yawn. His limbs were heavy. Movement seemed not worth it. Steve would take care of him, anyway. There would be soft cloths, wet with warm, scented water stroking over his skin. There would be a clean blanket, the puffy down kind that Tony liked, a cold bottle of water with little chips of ice in it, bites of chocolate and crisp apples if he wanted them. Tony liked those parts, too, when he could just let it happen around him and keep on drifting like this until he slept. You could say that, Steve agreed with a low chuckle that sent a puff of warm air against Tony's ear. Tony mumbled and stretched his arm up to curl around Steve's neck. So what if you had seen me? Back then, I mean. In one of those photos, or, I don't know, on a mission or something. Would you have been all white hat about it? My knight in shining armor come to rescue me. Is this before or after you leveled a city block when someone tried to get you to do something you didn't want to do? Steve asked, making Tony grin. God, he did love this man. Sometimes so much it almost hurt. I saw your picture in those files that Fury gave to me. You weren't like them, those Omegas, of course, but you were, too. You were all dressed up in something you hated, made to look a certain way, because it was what your parents thought someone like me would want, and you were being offered up, used to get them, well, your dad at least, what he wanted, money, power, all at your expense, with no care for what you wanted or needed. And the world was fine with it. Those Omegas in the pictures. At least, no one can look at that and say it isn't what it is. But everything they threw at you, it had a damn stamp of approval on it. You had no choice, no way out, no options. And you were looking right at the camera, smiling, and telling the world to fuck off. Tony blinked, turned his head and craned his neck to look up at Steve. They rarely spoke of it. Hadn't, really, since the whole thing with Howard. And even then, Steve hadn't spoken of it with such vitriol. So, Tony said slowly, love at first sight for you then, I take it. Tony smiled. Something like that, Steve replied softly, pressing another kiss to Tony's temple. Something a lot like that.